roll and establish a quorum.
Wieckowski?
Here.
Stone?
Here.
Gaines?
Here.
Hill?
Here.
Lara? Skinner? Stern?
Okay, we have a quorum. We have one measure on our agenda. This is AB 2501 by Assemblymember Canson Chu. Good morning. You may proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairs and Senators. First of all, I want to thank you and the committee staff for working with us on this bill. AB 2501 will give authority to the State Water Resource Control Board to order a consolidation in the disadvantaged community when poor drinking water. This bill focuses on really small water systems and local education agencies that are often overlooked but are the most vulnerable. Recent amendments include allowing the state board to appoint an administrator to help oversee and facilitate a consolidation where appropriate and clarify the role of the administrator. Secondly, it requires the state board to set up process that will allow community that don't have safe drinking water to petition for consolidation. Thirdly, ensuring that a customer receiving the water through a consolidation are not paying charges or fees that are higher than is fair or higher than other customer or paying customer. And here with me today to testify in support, excuse me, is Phoebe Seaton with the Leadership Council for Justice.
Thanks so much, Assembly Member. Good morning, folks. Phoebe Seaton with Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. We work in primarily in the San Joaquin Valley and Coachella Valley, where there are hundreds of thousands of folks without safe drinking water. And what's one of the really critical things that this bill does is it extends the state board's authority to appoint administrators and order consolidations for domestic wells, for communities on domestic wells, which are often the most vulnerable of all communities, and ensures that kind of this tool is available, again, some of the most vulnerable places, disadvantaged communities without safe drinking water. Happy to answer any questions, but I wanted to turn things over to my colleague, Grecia Lenes, who works in, who can really describe what this looks like on the ground in a community she works in Fresno.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Grecia Lenes, as Phoebe mentioned. So I have the privilege of working with several communities throughout the city of Fresno. And you may be wondering, you know, why city of Fresno, why someone who works with city of Fresno, who know a city of hundreds of thousands of people who typically is consolidated, would be here testifying. So I actually work with a community who's completely within city limits, surrounded entirely within the city. However, they have no access to safe drinking water. We recently found out that they actually have TCP in their groundwater, and they were noticed and they were notified in a very improper way. So, you know, people continue to drink this type of water, and in addition to that, they get several boil water notices for bacteria that is found there. And, you know, this is a community that is already burdened, given that they're right next to the freeway, high-speed rail is coming right next to them. So this is just adding, you know, another barrier to them having a good quality of life and access to safe drinking water.
We've seen the maps of Fresno and the various water districts, and while the independence can be, I guess, looked at and admired, the delivery of safe drinking water might benefit from a consolidation. Others in support of AB 2501, please come forward.
Good morning, Debbie Orr with Community Water Center, also on behalf of Sierra Club California, in strong support of this bill.
Jennifer Clary, Clean Water Action, in support.
All right, let's hear from opposition. Anybody opposed to 2501? Close the public hearing, bring it up to the dais. Just one question on the second public hearing, because I guess the idea is that we have it set up right now that you notice this, you have a public hearing after the expiration. Is the idea that you would have a hearing up in front so people would know what was going on with the consolidation, and then if it doesn't actually consolidate within 6 months, then you come back in and explain to the public sort of an update? Is that...
I'd say, in short, that's the amendment, one of the issues that we wanted to work through was making sure that that first public meeting was kind of this is what's going on, a heads up of what's going on, and the second is upon expiration and the determination of certain findings to bring the community up to date of progress that's of progress and analysis that's occurred.
Seeing other questions, the chair, Senator Gaines.
Thank you. My concern with the bill is the loss of local authority. So we have the state setting a set of criteria that makes it easier for consolidation to occur. So I'd like to know, in terms of how the locals are impacted, are these all municipal local water agencies? Are they private?
Mostly private.
Okay. All right.
There's currently no agency overseeing this. Those small, very small, five connections. A lot of them are probably on well water.
Okay. And are they owned by the? I mean, is it a private venture? Is it a profit-making private venture?
What this bill is addressing in terms of the domestic wells is mostly people who are reliant on their own private well or mobile home parks. So the mobile home park might be in charge of providing the water. It's included in rent or as a service charge as part of being in a mobile home.
Okay. But is this a local bill or a statewide bill?
Statewide.
Okay. So there's a lot of private water agencies throughout the state of California. I've got them in my district. Profit-making water agencies that have been around for, 50, 75 years. So I guess the question I have, is there a pathway for them to reach the standards that are necessary to provide clean water to their users without them being forced into consolidation? And so, because in a scenario like that, you're putting them out of business.
To answer quickly, I think the standard that's set is that if a system consistently fails, so there has been kind of a notification and notice that there's been a period under which this private water or public water system is failing to provide clean drinking water over an extended period of time. So there would be time to get up to speed before getting to this step.
I'm going to call up the LEDS director for the Water Board and maybe ask this question, because let's make a distinction between the private water companies that are delivering safe drinking water. They have the technical expertise to provide that and doing it, and the ones who are failing. The ones that are failing, that they may be private or, an association, but they've had years of failure. And at least our previous hearings have shown that they don't have the technical or financial wherewithal actually to deliver the state required. Sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. Robert Eagle. I'm the legislative director for the State Water Board, and I have with me Darren Polhemus, who is our deputy director for our Division of Drinking Water. That is accurate. I'm going to turn to Darren to answer the question more completely. I do want to say that we're here at the request of the author, just to provide technical assistance to the committee. Darren.
Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. Darren Polhemus, I'm Deputy Director for the Division of Drinking Water at the State Water Board. So to your question, a private water system that finds themselves not able to deliver quality water, if they're in our regulatory schema, so from what's considered a public water system up, which would be 15 connections or larger or 25 people served, would go through a normal enforcement process. They would get a citation with a time schedule on how to come into compliance, and then if they were unable to do that, they usually look for, ways to address that in an economic fashion. So, there's no intent here to just jump in and say, gotcha, we're going to consolidate you. Consolidation ends up being a potential tool that they need to consider, especially if they're really small, faced with, a water source that's tainted and putting on big-time treatment, and if they're small geographically, they're really going to drill another well into the same contaminated water, and they would oftentimes look at then consolidation. So a lot of times when they face that, then they look at the community next door, and the community says, no thanks. And so this bill allows us to look at that community, especially if it's disadvantaged, and say, all right, well, actually the most economic for those citizens to get healthful water is to force a consolidation with the larger neighbor next door.
Okay, and I think that's all laudable. It makes sense to me. We want folks to have clean water, especially in disadvantaged communities. But my concern would be that the authority granted to the water board could be used in the wrong way, and there could be the strong arm of the state government dictating what's happening locally. So you've got water agencies that are for-profit that may have been in existence for decades. The regulatory environments increase, making it tougher and tougher to satisfy the requirements set by the state. And so what happens to those entities? Are they put out of business? Do they lose their jobs? I'm just trying to understand. I want to make sure that those individuals, if they must transition, that they're treated in a fair manner.
Yeah, so, I mean, the bill sets up a way that, you know, if we got to the end game of they were unable to comply on their own and so could not achieve healthful water for their water systems, and then, you know, we were looking at a consolidation, and even if they were not in favor of it and we were forcing both sides to consolidate so the small system doesn't want to give up but they're not able to achieve healthy water and the larger system also, in essence, the bill says that we fairly compensate them for the value of their system. I mean, they would not lose out in a financial sense, whatever the appraised value of the assets that they would hold. We have to compensate them. We also have to compensate the subsuming system that is receiving the other systems so that they, you know, basically end up not impacting their existing drinking water users.
Okay. So are there any eminent domain issues?
No, it's more assuming the public right-of-way stuff as far as I'm aware.
Any takings of property or assets or... I just want to make sure that, because that, if that transition occurs,
right.
The private water agency has assets.
Right, those assets
it's
have to be
consolidated. Will they be compensated within the market based on its value?
Exactly. Yeah, they get full compensation for whatever the value of established for their water system is and all the assets. You know, they do go out of business, obviously, but they will get a compensation as that happens.
And what's happening now is that you've got local jurisdiction. You're saying they don't have the authority to come in and say, you know, water agency A and B need to consolidate?
Yeah, we end up where they get stranded. They let's say the small water system wants to do everything they can, but they don't have the means. They don't have a source of water that's going to be, you know, viable without treatment, and then that means it's going to be much more expensive. Okay. And they're like right next to a community, and a lot of times the community's like, well, I was planning on doing this development, not this one.
Senator Stern, you have a question.
I think you actually just answered it because I'm sensitive to a similar issue, but I just to get clarity in terms of the amount and the process, there's a requirement in the new amendment, is there not, to do this sort of on a regular basis informing a progress sort of milestone, like an aggressive sort of interaction, in other words, of informing on progress to the subsumed and receiving water systems. I see that.
Yeah, I mean, in essence, we want all parties to be involved, and we would much prefer an amicable solution be reached in a negotiated settlement. So we start off with, like, okay, there's a problem here. Can you guys talk? And then we issue basically a decree that says we're considering consolidation. Please spend the next 6 months trying to work it out. And then we heavily engage with both sides to try to make sure that, you know, if we can reach an agreement and not use our authority, by all means, that's the preferred path. And that's what actually happens the majority of the time.
And I also notice, in addition to the compensation requirement as necessary and appropriate for any capacity loss as a result of consolidation, there's also a prohibition on charging any fees to customers that are not subject to the consolidation. So in other words, there's not going to be sort of cost shifting for those not within. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. The intent is that the larger water system that's the receiving system, that those ratepayers, in essence, you know, don't have to increase their fees because of this consolidation. We make sure that we are adding capacity or paying for it appropriately so that there's really zero impact.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for answering your questions. That's very helpful. I appreciate it. I'm going to vote no at this point, but yeah. I'm going to review it again. I want to speak to Aqua. They were not here. I'd like to hear their perspective, and I'll keep an open mind on the floor. Thank you.
Just remember, everybody, these are systems that are failing under federal law, failing under state law, and have not appropriately delivered or have no capacity to deliver safe drinking water to their residents, so that this is a tool that the bill allows the resource board to order that consolidation so that the individuals are getting the safe drinking water. Why don't you close, Assemblymember?
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator, for the questions. I respectfully ask for your input. Hopefully, I'll be able to get your support on the floor.
There's a motion by Senator Hill. Please call the roll.
Okay, AB 2105 by Assemblymember Chu. The motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye. Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Gaines?
No.
Gaines, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye.
Thank you, members. We have three votes. We'll keep the roll open for our absent member.
All right, the hearing is back in, is open again, and we will call the roll on AB 2501. Please call the absent members.
Lara. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye.
That gives AB 2501 four votes, and we will close the roll, and the measure passes. Thank you. That concludes the Senate Environmental Quality Committee for today. Thank you.